Welcome to the Therapeutic Food Solutions Podcast. I'm your host, Mary Mitchell. I'm an integrative nutrition health coach, therapeutic diet expert, and founder of The Road to Living Whole. There are many different diets out there. It's hard to know which one is right for you with your chronic illness and autoimmune disease. In this podcast, I'm going to share with you the foundational pieces every single therapeutic diet out there shares, and also how to use the best one for your particular diagnosis. If you've been looking for a meal planning partner, help navigating the complicated healthcare system, and want to feel better quickly, I'm your girl. Grab your kombucha and notebook. Let's dive in. Welcome, everybody. I am so excited for today. I have a fellow IIN grad who is just amazing, and I'm really excited to share her with you. Her name is Allison Saman, and she's going to share who she is, her, you know, what she knows, her story, and then we're going to be talking about chronic fatigue and just the challenges that come with that and the root causes and just all kinds of great stuff. So Allison, tell us who you are.
Hi, it's so great to be here with you, Marion. So I am Allie, and I am a functional nutritionist, but I wasn't always. And what's so funny is my clients and the people who meet me like on social media think that I'm, you're that person who's just, you know, that foodie person. No, not at all. I struggled with unexplained chronic pain for over 10 years. And I had migraines, my weight fluctuated, I had acne, I was constipated, although I didn't think that was a problem at the time. I thought it was a matter of convenience. I worked in television. I worked really, really long hours. And I didn't think that anything that I was doing had anything to do with my health. I thought something was wrong with me. And I was looking for a diagnosis that I wasn't getting. I had all of the scans, I had all of the therapy, I had the neurologist, and there were tears and there were bulging discs and there were things, but there was nothing, there was no conclusive diagnosis, but there was a lot of pain, there was a lot of misery. It was mostly in my lower back, my knees, and my butt. So walking was a problem, sitting was a problem. How do you function? And I was in my 20s at the time. And so while I started going to a neurologist for chronic pain, because I just couldn't sit, and I had this deep pain, and they did so many tests and painful tests where they're testing your nerves. And during this time, I had a tragedy in my family where my father suddenly died.
I'm so sorry.
And thank you. And it was just his birthday last week. And he was 50 and he looked the picture of health. And so it was so shocking that something could happen to my favorite person on the planet. And also somebody who was healthy. And my mindset at the time was I'm healthy and active. I work out, I eat low fat, I watch my calories, therefore I'm healthy. And my dad was the same way, super active. He looked great on the outside. On the inside, he had severe heart disease that no one knew he had because no one was looking for it, because he looked perfect and he didn't smoke or drink. So therefore he's healthy. He exercised all the time. Therefore he's healthy. And although I did drink a lot at that time, I was never a smoker and I didn't think that I was eating, and I wasn't eating McDonald's. Therefore I eat healthy. And I wasn't making the connection. But when my dad died and I was already going through all of this, it then, this whole nother wave of, oh my God, my life is half over. I'm going to die soon. And there's something wrong with me that we somehow missed in my dad. And I don't know what it is. And there was a little bit of Raynaud's. There were so many things, but no like one conclusive thing, just a lot of symptoms. And all of the years of struggle and grieving and tears, not one doctor ever talked to me about what I ate. Not one ever asked me if I was pooping. They just did physical therapy. They prescribed drugs and they helped. The drugs helped. So I loved them because I didn't have migraines and I didn't have knee pain when I took those drugs. And I don't know what it was, divine intervention or something, but this one of the top orthopedic surgeons in New York City, who all of the professional athletes would go to, he suggested exploratory surgery because they couldn't figure out what the source of the pain was. Like, yes, I had tears and there was inflammation, but what is the source? And something said, that's not right. Like, I know that there's a lot of things wrong and I want an answer, but that cutting me open to just explore didn't sit right with me, especially after everything I had been through. And I finally was referred to somebody who was a health coach of sorts. And he asked me what I was eating. And he started talking to me about food and the energetics of food. And I was like, what? First of all. And when I told him my breakfast was a healthy breakfast, it was, I would have, I think at the time it was Special K. So a nice, good, healthy cereal, a glass of orange juice to get your vitamin C, and my multivitamin. And that's, you know, good old America, healthy American breakfast that I've had my entire life. And the cereals may vary, but everything else stayed the same. And he's like, why are you drinking orange juice? I'm like, for the C, obviously, because I hate orange juice and I wouldn't be drinking it otherwise. I truly hate it. And he said, why don't you eat an orange or strawberries or broccoli? What do you mean? They have vitamin C in it. You're having so much sugar. And it never, ever entered my mind. I thought, I'm working really long hours. I don't drink coffee. I don't drink soda. I'm a healthy person. I don't smoke cigarettes. Everybody's doing that to keep their energy up. What did I use? Sugar. And I just never, never, ever thought that that had anything to do with anything. And so that night I went home and I didn't have orange juice the next morning for breakfast. And my knee didn't hurt. And it's not like I was cured and it was all done after that, but that put the idea in my head, what we eat matters. It affects how our body feels and functions. What else? If orange juice is that powerful, what else can I take out or add in? I didn't even get to the adding in part. It was just the taking out and seeing how that felt. And that sort of was the open the floodgates to, oh my God, people have to know about this crazy newfangled concept called nutrition that nobody's talking about. And no, like the doctors aren't talking about this. So I have to tell people. And if this works, if what he's saying works, I'm going to tell everybody about it. And ultimately, I moved from the East Coast out to California, where I live now. And I was still working in television, but it was different. People were looking at me like, why does she have so much energy? They didn't know me as the sick girl, the girl who had to be carried up the stairs in our studio because I couldn't walk. Being in New York City, you can't not be able to walk. It is so challenging because it's all stairs, everything, everywhere, subways, and our studio had stairs. And so they would carry me. And so in LA, they saw me as the girl who was so fast and moving all around and didn't eat what everybody else was eating, didn't drink what everybody else was drinking. And so they would ask me about that. And I sort of became the unofficial health coach on the set that I worked on. And then I was like, okay, I think I'm supposed to be doing something else. And it was sort of, I was trying to reconcile what happened with my dad and solve that mystery. Like, why did that happen? Oh, and I have to change course. And so that's what I learned, is that we could have these really powerful genes, but it doesn't have to be our destiny. We can actually do different things and turn genes on and off and actually have a better life, a better outcome. So yeah. That's sort of how I got here today. That's the nutshell.
Yeah, that's kind of, my story is very similar. You know, struggling with multiple chronic conditions that just weren't getting better. And I was taking pharmaceuticals and I just thought that it, you know, headaches and migraines were just bad genes. And you know, I had ovarian cysts and the hormonal acne and the weight that wouldn't stay down. I was always climbing if I wasn't like super calorie controlled and working out an hour and a half, 4 days a week and all of this stuff. And I just kind of started trying to use food as medicine and study as much as I could. And it took like 7 years. And in that time, my dad was diagnosed with a really deadly autoimmune condition. And then my daughter was born and she was diagnosed with celiac disease. And I just kind of really started diving in. It's so, and then of course, the starting point is always taking things away, right? And we see that all over social media. It's like the vegan diet or the carnivore diet or the keto diet. And like, you know, everybody's like, just takes things away. And then you're like left with like nothing. Right. And it's beyond frustrating. So I love that you kind of talk about that. How did you get into dealing with chronic fatigue? Like, where did that come into the picture? And let's talk more about what that is and maybe some root causes of that and, you know, how food and lifestyle play a role in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was sort of fatigue was one of the things that I battled. I worked. So there's different reasons why we're tired. There's a lot of different reasons why we're tired. I worked long hours. I didn't have a lot of time for sleep. And so that is a physical lack of sleep. So that's going to make you tired. And especially over time, even when you're young, you still need the sleep. We take it for granted, but you still need it. Right. And so there's that. Stress is another thing that makes us tired. And whether it's stress because of our work or stress over what's happening in the world, there's a lot of stress that we internalize. Relationship stress, there's a lot that we internalize. Moms, I'm also a mom. There's a whole different level of stress that comes with being a mom. And so there, you know, all of those things can make you feel tired, but there's a difference when there's this fatigue where no matter what you do, you are not getting that energy, not feeling like your brain can focus. You're feeling short-tempered. It's affecting your mood. It's affecting your relationships. And you just, your zest for life sort of just goes away and you're just looking for, well, I need that coffee. I need that. I mean, I have clients who were drinking 8 cups of coffee per day because they had no get up and go. And so part of what's happening and what I was doing, I was self-medicating with sugar. Sugar for me was twofold. It gave me energy. I needed that pick me up. It gave me a hit. And I also used sugar as comfort. So that was my drugs and alcohol that people will turn to. It was sugar. I'm sad. This makes me happy. Didn't make my body happy, but it made my mouth happy and my brain happy temporarily, right? I didn't know how much damage I was doing. But so when we're tired, fatigued, stressed, we're looking for things that are going to give us that pick me up. And your body instinctively knows that carbs are going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so you reach for the carb, you reach for the bagel, you reach for the donut, the cake, whatever. For me, it was candy, gummy candy. It was just the thing that just made me so happy. And so you get that pick me up. And so that's great. But what happens then, you get that hit and the if you're on empty because you are underfed, it's been a long time since you've eaten, you're undernourished, your blood sugar is going to spike. And so you get that hit that you want, but just as fast as it went up, it's going to go down. It's going to crash. And when that happens over time, you are setting up a hormonal response that is setting you up to be more fatigued. And what's happening is every time there is that blood sugar spike, you have an insulin response to bring that blood sugar down, to bring it into your cells for energy. But every time that happens, that's actually causing inflammation. It's actually causing your cells and organs and tissues to age more rapidly. So then you feel more fatigue. And like people talk about, you know, getting old, getting older is why I'm so tired and things aren't working. And it's like, well, I'm here to tell you that I'm as old as I've ever been. And I have more energy than I did in my 20s when I felt fatigued all the time. And I needed to rely on substances for happiness, for energy. I was dysfunctional. I was masquerading as a functional person, but I really wasn't. And I didn't realize how much that was affecting me. And so the another part of what can be setting up this cascade, even if you're like, well, no, Allie, I'm not a sweets person. I like savory. I like crunchy. Okay, fine. The same hormonal response happens if you're eating foods that to which you're sensitive to. Foods that are causing inflammation in your body are also causing the same reaction to happen. And so it could be something like gluten for your daughter. I mean, that's potentially deadly for her. But for a lot of people, gluten causes inflammation. It can be other foods that are otherwise healthy, like broccoli. Or I had a client the other day, banana. So sometimes, oftentimes these days, when you are in a lot of stressful situation, it could be genetically, it could be undernourishment, it could be stress related, but we can develop a leaky gut situation where undigested food particles are getting into our bloodstream where they don't belong. And your immune system is like, whoa, hold up. That's a pathogen. That shouldn't be here. That's, you know, let's get it. Let's get it. And so they tag it as other. And so every time you eat this otherwise healthy food, and your immune system, armed forces are activated, and all of this inflammation is there because they're attacking that food. There's a histamine response that happens when you have an invasion of a virus, a bacteria, anything that doesn't belong. And so again, if food is in your bloodstream where it doesn't belong, it's supposed to stay in your digestive tract and then go out, right? The breakdown product, we take out the nutrients and get it into cells. But if that undigested food protein is in your bloodstream, you're having the same histamine response as you would if there was a virus, a viral attack. So you have a histamine response, then you're going to, with all of that inflammation, your adrenals say, okay, let's release cortisol to bring down that inflammation. So now you have the histamine, you have the inflammation, cortisol. If you're regularly eating foods that which you're sensitive to, your adrenals are constantly pumping out cortisol to bring down that inflammation. And so when your cortisol levels remain high, then your adrenals and you and me become chronically fatigued. And we keep doing the same thing over and over again because this is the healthy food, or I just need some energy, right? And so we have this vicious cycle happening on a microscopic level, but it's fluctuating our hormones, and we're tired, we have brain fog, we have less energy to combat inflammation so that our bodies don't repair. So for me, I had chronic pain eating a lot of inflammatory foods that I thought were healthy, eating a lot of sugar. So my inflammation levels were high. It didn't matter how much sleep I got, I was still always tired because I was creating a stress situation in my body. So forget about all the other stress. I was creating a stress situation, unknowingly creating a stress situation that was giving me less energy to function. And so you saw it in my digestion, you saw it in my hormones, you saw it in my skin, my energy, my focus, my mood, and also my tissues not repairing.
Yeah.
You know, I had tears, I had discs, and it just was not resolving.
You know, I think something I kind of want to go back and talk about is insulin and the insulin mm-hmm. response. And people don't realize that insulin is a hormone.
Yes.
And it's like the hormone that starts all the other hormones, right? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. if insulin is off, all your other hormones are off. And then also the high amounts of sugar constantly causing inflammation, reducing the body's ability to repair itself, aid the aging process and all of that. Like, I just think about all these people who are struggling with chronic fatigue, and food is never a piece of the puzzle. But then also the standard American diet is very high carb. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having cereal or oatmeal or toast or something for breakfast. A lot of people are drinking 40 to 50 grams of sugar in their sweetened drinks. You know, we say Starbucks, but there's, you know, out, you know, everybody's kind of like, you know, and think a lot of people who are trying to be healthy are like, ooh, Starbucks, I'm going to go local. Doesn't matter. You know, those sweetened drinks, those frappuccinos, all of those things,
yeah,
you know, and then we're having bread with lunch and we're having crackers with snack, or, you know, we're having that sugar pick me up. And, but it's okay to have a little bit, because, you know, the American Nutrition Association, whatever they call themselves now, American Dietetic Association, I think they even changed the name recently. McDonald's is okay. Soda's okay in moderation. But all these things are just so inflammatory. And I think a lot of people, because the medical field has failed them, they feel like food doesn't matter, right? Or like we know with leaky gut, foods be going into the bloodstream and all of that, that like even if they eat healthy, it doesn't help, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like now that we kind of have discussed the cycle, and obviously there's other root causes, latent infections, environmental toxins. I know that you mm-hmm. specialize mm-hmm. in environmental toxins. Can we yeah. maybe talk about those a little bit?
Sure.
Because I think sure. lifestyle plays a huge role. Some people do eat really well. They're eating nutrient dense and all this stuff. They're healing their gut and they still don't get better, right? So then they feel like, well, why am I doing all of this work when I'm not getting better? When we know that there's mm-hmm. other potential root causes. And I know that you studied yeah. environmental toxins. So let's talk yeah. about those.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that is very common that people are like, I eat all this healthy food and I still feel terrible. And so one, oftentimes you're actually not absorbing the nutrients from your food. And my mentor, Andre Nakayama, always says, you're not what you, the phrase is, you are what you eat. And she says, you are what you absorb. And that's really powerful, because we're often not absorbing, and there's so many things that can actually compromise our digestion. And so it goes back to, you could have a food sensitivity. It could be that you, from all of the stress, there is a leaky gut, or poor stress will also depress your stomach acid. And so you're unable to break down, or I'm sorry, you're unable to, there's two things. You might not be making digestive enzymes to break down the food and have the stomach acid to be able to absorb the nutrients from your food. So that's kind of always a place that we go. But the part that often gets overlooked, that you, going back to what your question was, is we have to shut off the toxic tap. And there's so many things that we're putting in, on, and around our body that actually impact our digestion, our hormones, our respiration, our brain function, our skin, what's happening. You know, your skin is your largest detoxifying organ. We don't think about it as an organ, but it is. And anything that we're putting on it is going directly into our bloodstream. So we have to be cognizant about the things that we're putting in, on, and around our body. So at least when you're ingesting something, there's a two-part detoxification process. And so it has to go through this whole thing. And your body is designed to detoxify, to take in toxins, take them on. And this is why we're not sick all of the time. Living in a world that has so much pollution and cars and off-gassing and all of that stuff. But at some point, there is a body burden and it runneth over. And so it can be things like your personal care products, your cleaning products. So a lot of them have chemicals in them that are actual endocrine disruptors. So synthetic hormones, where your body thinks that it's actual hormone like estrogen. And so it gets confused. And so you're making more estrogen or less estrogen. And you have these things that your body can't actually do anything with it because it's not real. And so what does it do with it instead? I'm just going to put it here in your fat, put it in your, you know, in your tush, put it around your belly, wherever, you know, these are obesogenic chemicals. Fat loving.
Adipose tissue.
Yes.
Adipose tissue is an organ that protects us from toxins. So if we have a toxic burden, it pulls it out of the bloodstream and puts it in the adipose tissue. right? Yep. So a lot of people don't realize, like, part of the reason you're not losing weight is because your body's trying to protect you.
Oh yeah, that's exactly
what
it is.
You know, because when you lose weight, it's releasing all those toxins. And if your detoxification is inhibited in any way, then all you're doing is poisoning yourself, and then it pulls it back into the adipose tissue. You know, that's why those in January, when you're like, lose 10 pounds in a month, and then you get the flu about 2.5 weeks in, it's because you've flooded your body with these toxins, and your liver and your detoxification pathways are sluggish or inhibited, and, you know, inhibited in some way. And so your body's like, dude, you got to stop. So they make you feel like crap so that it can reabsorb everything. Yeah. And then you gain back all the weight that you were losing, probably then some, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Everything your body does is to protect you. It's always trying to reach that homeostasis balance. And we are the ones who are just inundating it with stuff. And it's just constantly trying to work for us. And, you know, we learned this way back in IIN, the body will heal itself when it's given the tools. Give it the right tools and it will heal. And so when you can be aware of things like phthalates and parabens, those are two of the big ones, air fresheners, right?
More toxic than cigarettes.
Yeah. And you know, at the time when I was struggling with all of my pain, I had the plug-in air fresheners. I had the candles. I had the Yankee candle and the Bath and Body Works and the frequent shopper club cards and, you know, all of that stuff. Now I can't even walk past the store without, like, it's so bad, because I was desensitized to all of that at the time. Now everything is awake and alive. My villi are working in my digestive system, you know, in my intestines. My like olfactory receptors are working. I am aware of when something is, and so that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. I find that people, when they start to change their diet, they suddenly can't drink like they used to, or they can't have this cake that they used to, and they're mad about it. And I'm like, I think that's a really good thing, actually, because your body is telling you, we will not tolerate crap anymore. And so thank you, body, for coming online and doing what it's supposed to do. When you just have this inundation of all of this stuff, you become numb. And this is why you're not getting, when you do eat the healthy food, you're not getting the nutrients from it, which should give you natural energy. You shouldn't need substances. I drink green tea because it's I love it. I love matcha tea. And so, sometimes I need a boost. I often teach in the evening time. And so, especially when it starts to get dark out and, you know, melatonin starts to get, you start getting tired. So I'll have some green tea, but it's also a really excellent detoxifier. It helps with all of that extra circulating hormones that you might have in your body. It helps to get it out. And that's what you want, especially if you're not going to the bathroom. So if you don't have the absorption issue, you're probably not eliminating properly. I wasn't for years.
Let's talk about that. What does proper elimination look like?
Okay.
Because I think a lot of people don't know. Like, I know people who think that once a week is more than plenty and going pee 2 to 3 times a day is perfect because they have stuff to do. And I'm always like, oh boy. Because then when I tell them to drink water, they're like, I'm going to the bathroom every hour. And I'm like, that'll get better. It does balance out, but you're still going to go more than 2 to 3 times a day.
Totally. No, you will pee all of the time. And I do. And I think that that's a good thing. it's a really good thing that says you're doing it right. Things are working properly if you're drinking and going all of the time, not drinking. But you actually want to be pooping 1 to 3 times a day, not a week. And at the time, I remember going to an acupuncturist I was seeing for my chronic pain. And he took a look at my tongue and it was pretty white. And he said, how often do you go to the bathroom? And I said, like every couple of days, I think, you know, I go, I'm not constipated, I go. And he said, you're stagnating, you're stagnant. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, what do you mean? I didn't understand that by holding stuff in, that was not only holding in toxins, but there's a reason why I wasn't healing, because everything in my body was just stagnant. The energy was not moving. The toxins were not moving. And it's part of your, if you're eating minimum of three times a day, you should be pooping 1 to 3 times a day, because where is that waste product going to go? It needs to go out. Mm-hmm. And so all
you
of
have
the
to
waste
think it's not just food waste. It's used up hormones. It's those toxins. It's, you know, all kinds of things that you want out. Otherwise they get reabsorbed.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And all of the things that are coming from the air that you breathe, the food that you eat, that, you know, the food like substances, there's a lot of things in it that we can't digest. Your body doesn't know what to do with it. So the more you can feed your gut microbiome with fiber, good sources of fiber and prebiotic foods, which is essentially fiber to feed your good gut bacteria, you're helping yourself to move things out, helping to detoxify. It's when you don't, that's when you're ripe for overgrowth, for infection. And so it's never just one thing. And so we've talked about all of these different things. They all feed into each other. If you don't have the diet there, then you're setting yourself up for infection. If you don't have the detoxification, you are setting yourself up for fatigue, also infection, inflammation, pain, right? And so if you don't have the sleep, you're not going to be able to rest and repair. And if you have an infection and you're like, well, we're going to kill it. And so you're taking kill medications or supplements, whatever, you don't have the energy. You don't have the support, the foundational support to be able to sustain a kill and not have it wipe you out. Because that's not an easy thing to do if you have an infection. And so our work is always, the first thing we do is building that foundation.
Yep.
Because it doesn't matter what it is. If it's chronic pain, if it's chronic fatigue, if it's a gut infection, which usually if there's an infection, there's other things that are happening too. This might be the root, but there's all, a whole bunch of other symptoms that are plaguing you. You have to build that foundation first. You have to get your digestion optimized. You have to be able to break down and absorb the nutrients, eliminate the waste, make sure that your hormones are balanced throughout the day. I mean, these are the non-negotiables that we start with, and they have to happen.
I think I want to talk about that a little bit, because I'm thinking that people who are maybe newer to health and newer to this holistic approach might be like, that's a lot of things. And like, you know, for us, we list out all of this stuff, but we know that it's actually really simple because they all play into each other. And it's actually very simple steps. But I think people listening to this be like, oh my gosh, that's like this super long checklist.
I
have to do something for everything, when really it's almost categories, right? So if let's say somebody's like, okay, I realize now that I am eating the standard American version of healthy, which is not healthy at all, right? It's processed cereals and processed foods and, you know, very little vegetables and things like that. So, you know, and then they're like, and I use Bath and Body Works and I love my candles and my wall plugins because my house needs to smell nice. And they're thinking about like, we haven't even touched like laundry detergent or cleaning products or, you know, any of this stuff. Yeah. And all of this, that sounds like so much. So let's maybe give people a place to start. Like if we're going to start anywhere.
Yeah.
Where should they begin? Like, where should they begin looking? Obviously, hiring a coach is going to cut the learning curve. It took us years, you know, to figure it out. And we can cut, and nutritionists, we can cut the learning curve down to weeks, right? Where would they start if they're going to start this journey?
Yeah. We start with the gut.
Every time.
Honestly, we have to, every time. We have, because we don't run on Dunkin'. We run on food, right? Our bodies run on food. That is the energy. That is the information that tells our cells what to do. And so we have to look at the diet first. We start there. We could so get lost. I think that's what people think that they need to do, is get lost in the, I have to, the stuff in my kitchen and all of the products and da, da, da. What supplements do I need? Yes. Start with the gut. Let's look at your diet. What can we add in? So we're going to take out the most inflammatory food. So usually it's gluten, dairy, refined sugar. That could sound scary, but I promise you that as a picky eater and sugar junkie, I promise you that you can still have all of your favorite dishes,
but
in a healthified way. And I love, it's a little bit different. It might taste a little bit different, like texture might be a little bit different, but I promise you this, that you won't notice. Like you're not, it's not going to make, you know, first bite, maybe, but your taste buds actually change. And when they start coming back online and getting their sensitivity back, you start to realize, oh, wow. Oh, those Sour Patch Kids are like so sweet and so sour when I can eat this fruit. And oh my gosh, like this strawberry is like, it's like candy. It really becomes that. And so you don't have to, as somebody who is a stress eater, instead of having M&Ms, which used to be a go-to, or Skittles, I will binge on blueberries. I have several things. You know, like you're replacing, you look at who you are as a person and where in your diet do we need to fix? So is it that you have a reliance on caffeine? Okay, let's optimize things for giving you energy without the use of caffeine. Is it sugar addiction? Okay, let's give you other things that are going, let's unpack why there's that addiction and give you other things, because I promise you, your reliance on sugar will go away within 2 days once you just start changing that. And it can be really scary and hard to believe. I mean, I've had people in tears. I'm afraid you're going to take away my candy. And I'm like, I love that because I relate to that so much. And so when you said, you know, where to start, it really is a bio-individual. Like, where do we start? Ultimately, it's the gut. But where specifically, what foods we're adding in, definitely those three taking out, right? The gluten, dairy, refined sugar. But then where is it that they need more optimization? We start there. And then within a week, they're going to be pooping, sleeping better, having more energy, guaranteed. We're not supposed to guarantee in our work, but I guarantee something is going to change. Maybe not all three. One of those things is going to change really quickly. And you're going to go, oh, wow. Oh, wow. And that's why I have a roadmap to chronic illness recovery, because you can, no matter how many years you've been at this, there are things that you can do to tweak, bring everything back into balance, correct the deficiencies that were there so that you are functioning optimally and your body will start to recover, to repair. And the way we get there is going to look different for each person. But we're still starting here. Then after the gut, then we can go to, okay, let's work on sleep. Let's work on, well, actually it would be blood sugar balancing, making sure that
I feel like if we work on the gut, we naturally are balancing blood sugar.
Yes and no, I'd say.
Okay.
Because where I find is people think that they are balancing their blood sugar because they have changed their diet radically, but they're still not in touch with their body.
Okay.
They don't understand what it feels. How do I know if my blood sugar, like when I get a food journal, I'm like, is my blood sugar balanced? And my answer is, I don't know. You tell me. Right? Like I'm looking at what you're eating, but you tell me how you feel. Right. When is it that you feel this way?
Yeah. Do you have energy after? Are you able to sustain it? Are you crashing 2 hours after meals? Are you feeling pain? Are you not feeling pain? Are your sinuses clear? Do they get stuffy? Do you get a headache? You know, there's lots of things.
Are you sleeping through the night?
Oh,
do you wake up nauseous? Do you wake up with energy? Do you wake up dragging?
Can you eat within 30 minutes of waking up?
Yeah. You know, how long are you sustaining on your meal? You know, if I go 5 hours without eating, I'm just like, oh, I feel it in my eyes. Like, I feel like they get really droopy. and I need to eat. And so people will go for a soda, an energy drink. And it's not, that's not what you need. You need fuel. And then, oh, okay. Right. And so that, so actually you're bringing up a good point. So when we're optimizing our digestion, making sure that we have balanced meals. And so having that fat, fiber, and protein, those three things. So we've taken out three things. We're going to make sure that everything we eat contains these three things. Portion size is relative to the person, and that can vary. I don't like to look at numbers or weighing things like that. Yeah. But,
and that's like so annoying to people who are used to tracking, but I'm like not a weighing numbers thing person at all. I have like a plate framework, but I'm like, there's a little bit of wiggle room in here. And these two sections, the carb section is pretty strict, but like the protein and the veggies and stuff. But yeah, people really like to track. I have people buy my meal plans and then be like, there's no calories on this. And I'm like, well, your needs. I'm like, are you strength? Like, are you bodybuilding? Are you running marathons? Are you sitting on your butt for 8 hours? Like, that's all going to vary. But like,
yeah,
it's the core that matters. So I just, I want to throw that out there because a lot of people are on this like, oh, I have to track my calories to lose weight, or, you know, or even to gain weight. And I'm like, you know, if we heal the gut, like we might do that later, but normally that's not a necessary component of healing and health.
No, because I always say that once your gut is healed and your body can knows what to do with the food that it's given, it's going to do it.
And you know how to interpret it. Because I feel like you have to get that connection and trust learn what your body's trying to tell you and understand it and trust it and follow it.
Right.
So like you talked about, like, is learning, like, is your blood sugar balanced? Like, you start to learn, like, you usually feel good until you have a quote unquote bad meal. Yeah. And then you feel like absolute poop. And like, I know I can't eat normally. Pregnant's different, but normally I can't eat grains at all, because if I like go out for sushi, my blood sugar's off for 3 days and I can feel it because I'm nauseous, I'm extra hungry, I'm tired. I can't go as long between meals. And so, you know, like, I'm just super, super sensitive to that. And it's like, you almost have to feel good for a certain amount of time and then, quote unquote, I hate this, but I'll say it, fall off the wagon. You know, you indulge in a meal or you enjoy something, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, it's like negative reinforcement. You're like, wow, that made me feel like crap. But it's like, even just understanding, like, putting the connection as you wake up stiff and sore the next morning, or, you know, you feel off in some way and go, wow, last night's meal was like, that doesn't agree with me. Now, you might choose to still give. I still eat sushi. I just know that I'm going to have to do extra protein the next day. I'm probably going to be a little bit tired. Like, I just kind of, and over the years, learned mitigation strategies. But, you know, it's a very intentional choice versus like just kind of going through the motions.
Totally. And, I like, celebrate that. Oh, Allie's going to be mad at me because I did that. Like, no, it's way better than me telling you, don't do that. Don't. Right. Well, then you experiencing that go, oh, that's what she said, not to have gluten. I thought I'd be okay. I've been off of it for so long. I just had those brownies and oh, I don't feel good. Way better. Your body telling you than me telling you. So experience it.
Yeah, because some people can. My dad was off of gluten for like 9 months, started eating it, felt nothing. But if he eats nightshades, oh my word, does he have a flare? You know, now if he overeats gluten, obviously, but he's one of those that gluten, especially organic with no very little glyphosate and stuff, he does fine with. But you give him salsa, spaghetti sauce, eggplant, something, and he is inflamed and in pain and all of this stuff, right? And it's just a matter of like, learning.
Yeah.
You know, even with food sensitivity panels, people are like, my 11s are causing me way more discomfort than my 30s. And I was like, well, the 30s are doing damage. I'm like, but it's good that you're paying attention and you understand the connection to, I feel like crap when I eat this. Yeah. Doesn't matter what the blood work says. Like, that's, you know, at best 60% accurate. The gold standard is, how do I feel after eating this thing?
We don't treat the paper. We treat the person, right? And so
it's a good guide. It's helpful, but it's not the end all be all. You know, people put it on a pedestal, I think, which is, I think that's just what we've been culturally trained to do, but it's not what's actually helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, that trust, when people will say, well, but how do I know how much protein, fat, and fiber to have on my plate? Like, how do I know if I don't, if I'm not measuring it, or like, you know, on a label, it'll tell you how much is in there, but on real food, it doesn't have, like, so how do you know? And I'm like, I want you to learn how to eyeball it, how to know how to make a meal or a snack and know that you have all of the things, or, oh, you know what? I don't really have a lot of fat. What can I throw some hemp seeds on top of here? Yeah. Why don't I do some hemp seeds and some pumpkin seeds, and that'll make it really good. Like, find ways to be creative. You're going to learn. If this is new to you, you have to be open to expanding your horizons. There's a lot of foods and spices and herbs and pseudo grains that you probably have not been eating that will just make you so happy, will just bring so much variety and diversity into your life and into your microbiome that you won't ever say, I can't eat anything because I have all these sensitivities and I have, you know, this autoimmune and I can't have gluten and that. It can be challenging when you go out to eat, for sure, or somebody else's house, for sure. But we have strategies to work around that too. And I love helping people prepare for that. That's the thing, you have to be prepared. And so all of this becomes easy. At first, it can be overwhelming. That's why we do step by step. We don't do everything all at once. Start here, so that you can sleep better, poop better, feel better, start to understand what your body is telling you. Oh, when I have this big of a meal, I still feel hungry. Maybe I need a little bit more. Maybe I need, Ellie said, to drink a smoothie, but a smoothie doesn't feel like it's enough for me. Okay, well, what else can you have with it? So the smoothie is giving you all of your nutrients in a really highly digestible form, but maybe you need to have avocado toast with it, or an egg with it, or whatever it is. Maybe some chicken and salad from last night you're having with it. I don't know. A fat bomb. Oh yeah, that made it better. Okay, great. Check in with yourself. It's not just, well, I'm supposed to eat throughout the day, so I'm just going to keep eating. No. I want you to check in. What time is it? Don't eat because, oh, well, it's been 3 hours, I should eat. Well, how do you feel? Do you feel hungry? Do you feel shaky? Do you feel irritable? Do you feel foggy? Your eyes drooping out of your head like mine will do. It, you know, because then you can say, okay, well, you know what? I need a snack because I'm having lunch in an hour. So like a snack will really tide me over. Or, oh no, I needed to eat like an hour ago. I am famished. When you're at that famished place, you're on empty. So what are you going to want? It's the carbs. You're going to look for something that's going to give you the hit. We're trying to avoid that. We're trying to keep your blood sugar balanced so you're not having the big spikes and dips. So you're not making yourself fatigued. And so you're not setting yourself up for chronic inflammation, chronic pain, chronic health issues. And so it's a very complicated process that can be mitigated quite simply if we are diligent about it and plan. And so it just takes a little bit of foresight in the beginning. And learning, okay, well, new products maybe to buy, new brands, maybe a new store to shop in. But that's what, you know, having help, you're really good at this. I'm really good at this. There's lots of people who are, you know, there's people that you can go to. Okay, where do I start? And how can I make this work for me? Because it will work every time.
Yep.
Get rid of the crap. Optimize what you have and your body will work for you. It wants to. Thank you, body.
Yeah. If you can give it what it needs, maybe remove a few things that are inhibiting the process, your body is amazing and will start repairing itself and you will start feeling better. And I think a lot of people don't realize that they feel better until they quote unquote fall off the wagon and then realize, oh my God, I didn't realize how good I was feeling until I felt like crap. So I'm always waiting for them to tell me, like, you know, to sheepishly be like, I fell off the wagon and I ate this. And I'm like, but I felt like crap. And I'm like, that is like the best thing that could have happened, because just like with everything positive, you know, we remember the negative, we don't remember the positive, right? So we don't realize we're feeling good until all of a sudden we feel bad. And then we're like, I know. Ever want to feel that bad again.
Yeah.
you know, and I think that people feel like failures when I'm like, that is the best thing that could have happened. Because now, for one, you understand that you're feeling better, that you are making progress, but also you've learned to listen to your body. And that's incredible.
Well, and the other thing is, when you fall off or you have a flare, you know why. Like for you, I had that sushi. For your dad, I had that pasta sauce on the eggplant parmesan, right? And so he knows why. You know why, and you know what to do about it. You have tools. And so we give you tools, certain foods that are anti-inflammatory, that are feeding your gut bacteria, things that are just going to, that's going to help you to heal faster, that's going to help things to move along faster, detoxify faster. And so that's all part of the process. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It just means, okay, if something comes up, I know why, I know what to do. So that's empowering.
Yep.
You understand your body and you're working with it. And so I love that. You know, I didn't know that I was feeling better until one day I was sitting in my apartment and there was a knock on the door, and I got up to answer the door. And I was like, who did that? Because I, you know, was like, you know, like a little old lady getting up, because when your knees don't work, you can't do very many things. Getting up, sitting down to go to the bathroom as a woman, even getting up out of bed, you're laying down, you need your knee to lift yourself out of bed. And I got up and answered the door, and I was like, oh my God, ain't that something? I am getting better. And I didn't realize it. And so it can also work that way too. You're so used to feeling terrible that you don't realize when you're feeling the way you should be, you forget, I actually felt terrible before. This is amazing. So it can happen for you too.
Absolutely. So before we wrap it up, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with? And then also, how do they find you and connect with you?
Yeah. Well, so it's really, that's why I have the roadmap to chronic illness recovery, which is basically the 5 pillars of how to recover. We've kind of talked about them in a roundabout sort of way today. And so I have that for your listeners. I have a free gift for them. They can get that roadmap where we really dive into what are those things and what can you do. And so that can get them on their journey, and they can get that at allisonsaiman.com /roadmap. And also, I'm Health Ally on social media. So on Instagram and YouTube and Facebook, Health Ally, A-L-L-I-E. And say hello. I'd love to hear like what you've implemented, how it changed for you, what you noticed, how quick it was, what surprised you, or what you're struggling with.
Awesome.
Right? We've been there.
Yep, sure have. Well, thank you so much for joining me and diving into, you know, chronic fatigue and all the root causes and things that we can do to help mitigate it. And I think that it's not overwhelming at all, but
agreed. Well, yeah. Thank you so much.
And knowing how, once you get started and once you know what to do and get started.
Well, that's the thing. You and I took so long to figure it out. We now know how to do it succinctly. Like, we cut all the crap and all the experimentation. It's like, no, this is what works. We know what works. And so trust your body, trust the process, and you too can heal for good.
Well, thank you for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. If you found this episode helpful, would you do me a favor and help others find it by leaving a review, sharing a screenshot on social media, or sharing the link with a friend? By you sharing what you've learned, others are able to find this podcast and join our community. Be sure to check out my website, www.roadtolivingwhole.com, for over 160 delicious recipes, a variety of meal plans, and a blog packed full of even more healthy living tips. If you'd like to learn more about how to work with me as your coach, you can schedule a free consult through www.roadtolivingwhole.com/health-coaching/. Until next time, friend. Bye.